Good morning, church. Firstly, then Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give to you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on all your people and on the house of your father a time like any other since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." And moving on to Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this season of Advent. We thank you for your word, which is living and active. And Lord, would you speak to us now through your word? Would you teach us new truths in what may be familiar passages of Scripture? Would you open our hearts and our ears, and may we honour you in our response? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had someone say to you, "I have some good news and I have some bad news"? Yes. I don't think this is working. There you go. Which do you want to hear first? How many of you want the good news first? Oh, just a couple of you. How many want the bad news first? Oh, more of you. How many of you just don't want to be in that position at all? Because some of you didn't put your hands up. Sometimes, to understand and appreciate the good news, we have to know what the bad news is. And we're in this Christian season of Advent. Advent literally meaning the coming or the arrival. And for us as believers, Advent is associated with the coming of Jesus to the earth to provide salvation by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And believers today look forward in anticipation to the second advent of Christ, in which Jesus will return to the earth in a bodily form to receive the church and to judge the nations. And the term Advent also refers to a season of the church year during which the church prepares to commemorate Jesus' first coming to earth, that first Christmas. And the first four Sundays before Christmas Day make up this Advent season in the church. And that's why sometimes Advent starts in November and other times in December. And today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Now, have you ever been singing a song for years and then discovered that a phrase you've been singing for years is not what is really in the song? You catch yourself thinking, I never heard that before in the song. Sometimes things that seem so familiar are distortions of what is really being stated in the song. And sometimes we learn Christmas carols at a very early age, and we sing them then without knowing what the words really mean. And one such carol is O Come, Emmanuel. And we might want to ask, who is Emmanuel? And what exactly is he supposed to do when he gets here? And the tune of that song causes the emotions of sadness and hope to rise up in us. It's obvious from the song that things are going to change when Emmanuel arrives. Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. It's only found four times in the Bible, three times in Isaiah chapter 7, and once in Matthew 1. And in both Isaiah and Matthew, there's a struggle going on with a person, and they don't know exactly what to do or where God is at that moment in time. Now, God's people were known as the nation of Israel. They would often disobey God, and they'd go after idols to worship, and at times, God would let them suffer the consequences of their actions. This often meant being defeated at the hands of the nations around them. And as a nation, they would often only seek God when they were in trouble from warring nations. Instead of seeing God as the Almighty God, worthy of praise and honor, they kept God at a distance until things got really bad, and they had nowhere else to turn. They wanted a God, but not one that expected them to live righteous lifestyles. Does this sound familiar? Are we perhaps sometimes the same? Wanting a God who we know loves us, and we know he forgives us, but we're not really wanting to commit to him wholeheartedly and live lives that really reflect his ways. We're not prepared to make him a priority in our lives. We don't put what we know would please him and honor him first. At the time of our reading from Isaiah, the king of Israel was King Ahaz, and Jerusalem was his capital city. Two armies had surrounded the city and held it captive, but they couldn't overthrow it. King Ahaz had received word that they'd contacted a third king to come along and help them overthrow Jerusalem. He and the people in the city were terrorized with fear. King Ahaz was not walking with the Lord. He was doing a number of things God had ordered never to be done. Ahaz had even sacrificed one of his sons in the fire to a pagan god. Yet with all he had done contrary to the will of God, God still had compassion on Ahaz and the people. And so God sent the prophet Isaiah to him to let him know that his enemies wouldn't prevail. They wouldn't enter the city of Jerusalem, and the people being held captive in the city would be set free. Isaiah asked the king, what sign would you like to see to know that God was going to do this? Well, the king refused to ask for a sign because his pride wanted to continue to handle things his way. If he asked for a sign and got it, then he knew he would have to admit that he wasn't serving the Lord. Sometimes we ask God for a sign, but do we sometimes not want to accept the changes required of us when that sign comes through. So Isaiah said, I'm going to give you a sign so that when it happens, everybody will know that God is the one who brought about the deliverance. Isaiah told him, a virgin will have a child who will be called Emmanuel. And by the time the child is 2 years old, the nations attacking Israel would be destroyed. Now, when people heard about Isaiah's prophecy, no doubt they looked forward and most likely prayed that this child, Emmanuel, would be conceived and come to them quickly so that they could be granted deliverance. Now, the second time we see the name Emmanuel is in the Gospel of Matthew. We're introduced to Joseph, called a righteous man. He was looking forward to his upcoming completion of his marriage. He was engaged to this beautiful young woman by the name of Mary. They had their official engagements, with their parents having exchanged a dowry and gifts. And they were now in that 1 year waiting period between the engagement and the final wedding banquet. The couple lived separate and apart for a year, which was to guarantee that the father would be the father of whatever child was born in the marriage. And this stage of the process was one of such commitment that you would have to get a legal divorce as a couple to go your separate ways after the engagement. It was different to how things are with us today. Now, Mary had come to Joseph with some good news and some bad news. The good news is that God has sent an angel to her to let her know that she would be giving birth to the Son of God who would save his people from their sin. The bad news is that they didn't have much time to get ready for everything because she was already pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, of course, knows they haven't even come close to having sex. And the only name Mary will give him is the Holy Spirit. Now, since he's convinced Mary's story isn't true and that she's actually betrayed him, Joseph's life goes into a tailspin. What should he do? This child coming into his life was an absolute disappointment. It's amazing what God can do with our disappointments if we don't give up hope and remain faithful. Joseph could have let his anger determine his next step, but he didn't. He really wanted to do the right thing. He was a righteous man. When it all boils down to the bottom line, Joseph really had only three choices. The first was that he could publicly humiliate Mary because of what he perceives to be her immorality. This choice could possibly lead to her death under the law, for she would be guilty of adultery according to Deuteronomy. Secondly, he could divorce her quietly and just walk away from her, leaving her to raise the child in shame and poverty. Or thirdly, he could marry her and raise the child as if it were his own. Now, this last option in that time would rarely have been chosen. But Joseph, being a righteous person, needed real wisdom to make his decision. Now, unfortunately, at first, he made a compassionate decision, but it wasn't the best decision. Joseph decided to divorce Mary quietly without making any accusations, but that meant that he would have to take some of the financial responsibility for raising this child. He obviously cared for Mary, and as the scripture says, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He also knew that in taking this route, he would be putting his own reputation at stake. Many would believe that he was the father of the child and had backed out on the deal for some unknown reason. Had he found somebody else? There'd be plenty of speculation going around. Sometimes, even when we have all the facts in front of us, we still can't see or understand the whole picture. God may be up to something in a situation that we simply cannot understand with our earthly wisdom. In the carol, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the third and fourth verses of the song asks for help to come from on high and to put order in all things, to show us the path of knowledge that we need in order to go in the right direction. Joseph didn't know it, but God had preordained this union between him and Mary, and God was going to see to it that it came to pass. Just when Joseph was about to feel okay with the course of action that he decided to take, God sent him off in a different direction. God sent wisdom from on high through an angel in a dream who explained to Joseph the rest of the story. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I believe that Joseph was wanting some kind of a direction from God, to know that God was still with him, even in the midst of what seemed like a terrible situation. God gave that dream to Joseph. Anybody else might have dismissed it as wishful thinking, or perhaps that they'd had too much cheese and wine at supper. But Joseph knew that dream was from God. The point is that even when it seems as though God has forgotten us, because of perhaps God's silence, God is still looking over our situations. God is feeling our pain, and God knows when and how to intervene. Joseph was not going to let anybody try to talk him out of what he dreamed. He was willing to go and humble himself before Mary, beg her forgiveness for not believing her. He was willing to endure the scorn and the ridicule of others who would label him as the guy who just couldn't wait until the wedding night. Joseph's goal was to get back on track thanks to the wisdom that had come from on high. When he woke up, he went to get Mary and took her home as his wife. But they waited until after Jesus was born, until consummating their marriage. The Holy Spirit used Matthew to connect the event in the Old Testament with the prophet Isaiah and King Ahaz to the New Testament event of Mary and Joseph in writing the Gospel of Matthew. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now that Mary and Joseph are reunited, they could look forward together to the coming of this child. There's no doubt in either of their minds that Jesus is going to be different. The angel that came to Joseph in the dream gave Joseph the privilege to give him the name of Jesus. For it is this child that will save his people from their sins. In the final stanza of O Come, Emmanuel, we see the cry for the desire of nations to come and to bind all people in one heart and mind. This is exactly what Jesus has come to do. This is what we need in our nation and our world right now. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. God revealed in the coming of Jesus that we could all be reconciled with God. And God has since given us this ministry of reconciliation to let others know that God was working in Christ to reconcile the world to himself. Even in our worst moments of sin, God's goal is to bring us back to himself. There's a world that needs to know the goodness and the mercy of our God. And we have the opportunity during this season to tell others the good news of why Jesus is coming. For we all share together the goal of reaching the world for Christ as believers. The good news of Advent and Christmas is that we have a Saviour who loves us and forgives our sins. The bad news is that so many in the world, maybe people that we're close to, who we love and care about, are also in desperate need of a Saviour to be saved from their sin and to know that they're forgiven and loved. The whole purpose for Emmanuel to come was to change our situation in relation to God. When our relationship to God changes, then we can have true, meaningful relationships with one another. And the peace that we often sing about at Christmas is found, first of all, in knowing Jesus Christ for ourselves and understanding the meaning of Emmanuel. Knowing that God is with us no matter what is going to come our way. As you look at your own life this morning, where do you need to invite Jesus to come and to make a difference today? Is your home full of envy, strife, or arguments? Emmanuel, God with us, the presence of Jesus brings peace. Inviting him in today can change what the next few days of Advent and Christmas are going to be for you. Is there something you will have to let go of, as Joseph did, in order to discover God's plan for your life? Invite Jesus into your disappointments. Invite him into the areas where something has bound you and made you captive. Invite him into your brokenness and allow him to have you singing, "Rejoice, rejoice, for God has ransomed you. Rejoice, because God, no matter what situation we're in, is with us." Would you pray with me? Emmanuel, God with us, thank you that when we have asked you to be our Lord and Saviour, that you are always with us, whether we're on the mountaintop or in a dark valley. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Please would you meet us today. Strengthen us, comfort us, guide us and help us, however we are feeling, to be carriers of your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.